9 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good Thursday afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. I am live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It is a monster Thursday. Every Thursday is a monster Thursday on The Whole Show, but this is a double monster Thursday. I've got the Thursday night special coming up between the Colts and the Titans. And if you pay attention to the show, if you actually pay attention to The Whole Show every single day, then you already know who I'm picking tonight. You already know. But that is just a pop quiz for you there. If you follow along with the program, there's already a spoiler. So I'm just trying to give you a hint. First Advantage text line 31996. And we got a Broncos game tonight. Oh, Boise State. And the Colorado State Rams. It's an interesting night. It really is. I mean, last week, shock of the nation. Maybe not the nation, but definitely a shocker for me to see CSU beat Wyoming, but really never, it didn't really feel like Wyoming was gonna complete a comeback. I mean, they hung in there, and that was kind of, you know, I was a little concerned for the Rams, but I still felt like, because every time Wyoming would threaten, Colorado State would come up with something big. And then, of course, their defense was solid throughout, but, you know, they're still getting better. I like that they're aggressive, though. I mean, I think they're going to give up open looks downfield sometimes because they're going to take risks. I don't think we've seen that with the Colorado State defense in quite some time. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Okay, so I got some preseason rankings, polls, whatever the hell you want to call them. I have issue with all three of them. I think I read Pac-12, CU is picked to finish seventh in the Pac-12. CSU is picked to finish fifth in the Mountain West. And UNC, depending on the poll, but in the coaches' polls, picked to finish fifth and third in the media poll. So I'm saying this, just write these down if you're taking notes at home. I like UNC to win the Big Sky Conference. I like CSU to finish third in that top three. And I like CU to finish second. So, I mean, that Pac-12 is going to be tough. But I think the Buffs are poised to have one of those really big years. And we'll see. I mean, I think basketball in this area, I've been talking about it a lot. I think you're going to see a lot of great basketball here. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 31996. But those are my picks. I think that you're going to see some great basketball in this area, and I can't wait to get it going. I talked to Bodie Hume yesterday. I think you know he's going to be a tremendous player. I think the Bears are going to have a monster season this year. Steve Smiley in that first year as a head coach for the Bears. I think he'll do big things right off the bat. So, can't wait. Excited for that. But tonight we shift our focus to Colorado State, Boise State. They've never done it. Never found a way to beat Boise State. 9-0 the Broncos are against Colorado State. Do you like the blue field? Colfax doesn't like it. Too hard on your eyes?
Yeah, it's like really hard to watch.
It is. I was watching that BYU game, and for some reason it was really hitting me. My wife likes to watch the TV with like the dim. She likes it darker, and I like it bright.
Right, see everything.
So I forgot she had it on the dim, so I'm watching that dim plus the blue field, and I'm like, huh? Where is everybody? So I fixed that, and you're right. As a fan watching it, like, I'm kind of glad I don't have to commit to watching Boise State every single home game. But like the fanfare thing, I kind of like it because it's something unique. Now, you know me, I don't really, is it Arizona State basketball that does the, what do you call it? They put the little curtains out for basketball and then they run out during free throws when the opponent's shooting a free throw and they dance and they do skits and all that. That's overkill. That's too much for me. Like, it's just goofy. And it's just kids, college kids are, you know, they're weird anyway.
That's a nice way to put it.
Well, I mean, I don't need to see two college kids coming out dressed and being idiots. I mean, I don't mind fans trying to mess with a free throw shooter, but I don't need to see you come out and dance and we actually have a prop with it. I like cannons and Buffalo storming the field before the game starts. Like, I like that kind of stuff. Things that you can be known for. And Boise State's known for the blue field. The blue. I was reading the history of this, though, Colfax, and it's funny that when they first did this, I mean, the athletic director at the time, I'm trying to think of his name, Gene Blamire, he was AD, came up with this idea. And so, like, they're getting ready to purchase the new turf, the green turf. And he's like, you know, everybody knows it's fake, and we're getting ready to spend a lot of money on this green turf. But you're going to put it on the field and nobody's going to know anything. It's going to be like, we didn't really, it was just, it's one of those things you have to spend money on, you know, where you don't feel like you're actually gaining anything. You have to spend money on that. So he's like, if we're going to do it, let's go big here. So he proposed a blue field to the first turf company, and they kind of frowned on it, and they're like, I don't know if we can do that. And he said, well, we're going to move elsewhere then, and we'll go with a different company. And they said, okay, we'll do it. And then there was worry in the area, because geese are nearby, because they're close to a river or whatever, that geese would see the blue and dive down and apparently die. I don't know. So they thought that geese would think that the blue field was a lake.
Huh.
I just picture during a game, suddenly all these geese just flying down and whoa! Whew. Can't, like, they smell water? Don't they know it's not water?
I think they have senses that tell them.
Yeah.
They know that's just not. They may not know what it is, but I don't.
It's not water.
They know that.
Oh, I love that. I'm with you though. It is kind of. It's harder on me the older I get. I'm older than you, but it does seem like the last couple of years, it's like I can't really see what's happening. But it's a tradition. It's a tourist attraction too. People that travel there, they want to go see the blue field.
Do they pay to see it?
I don't know. I just read that it was a tourist attraction. Okay. Maybe. Or maybe you just go there. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. You know, ask me again after tonight. Colorado State they've never done it. Not many teams have beat Boise State. Now, this is before the BYU game, but check out these stats. Since 2000, at home, take a wild guess, Colfax, at home, how many games Boise State has lost since 2000?
10.
Oh. Spot on, although BYU beat him at home last week, so 11.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
When I wrote
this
down, it was 10.
It was 10?
Yeah. Nice work. That's good work by you.
That's still impressive.
Yeah.
That's
Is it the
impressive.
Field?
Yeah.
Probably the field. I mean, Boise State's legit, man. I mean, they're of the Mountain West Conference, you know, of the teams that are in the G5, they're one of the most respected. And they carry that baton, you know, they carry that torch for the conference. And so, you know, every year, like that BYU game, Mountain West, you're wanting them to win that game because then it makes this game huge. Unfortunately, get smoked. Severe quarterback issues. Hank Bachmeier didn't go from the start, but they went through three quarterbacks in that game last week. Jack Sears, Finnegan, Peters. I mean, over and over again, guys getting hurt, knocked out of that game. I'm guessing Hank Bachmeier goes tonight. Colfax, I don't know if we have that clip, but Steve Addazio talking about who to prepare for on the quarterback side of things and how do you go about it. Let's see if we have it.
This is week to week this year. It's more pronounced than it's ever been, given all the reasons for everybody. We were in that boat before. So, you know, we're just kind of preparing for kind of what we see and what they've shown. And then we got to go with it. But those guys are talented guys, man. Had a chance to recruit Jack Sears. I know all about him, and they're just talented. They've got a very nice job of some real talented quarterbacks.
Well, Addazio's getting a taste of his own medicine, right? Last week, we didn't know who the quarterback was going to be, trying to play some games with Wyoming, and hey, maybe it worked. That was probably it, right? Well, now we don't know for sure if Hank Bachmeier's going, but if he goes, yeah, look out. You know, I tweeted earlier in the week after watching Boise State BYU. I said, CSU going to go out and win this thing next week? And Rams fans were mad at me because, you know, I predicted CSU to lose to Wyoming. And then Wyoming, of course, Wyoming does, or, you know, yeah, I predicted CSU to lose, like, what, 35-14? Wasn't that what I said? Yeah. So Rams fans give me a hard time. But then they said, you know what? Keep doing it. Keep doubting. Keep doubting. I mean, come on. Based on any, what history did you think that Colorado State would beat Wyoming last week? None, except for your fandom. My job is not to be the, you know, oh man, it's just, I love the Rams no matter what. They're going to win every season. I'm not Micah here, one of our producers who's just obsessed with the Broncos. That's not me. You want me to give you my real view of it? I was shocked. I would do the same thing over again. Tonight, I don't know. I was messing with Rams fans, but it's Boise State. Yes, they got smoked by BYU, but I it's going to be tough. I think things are going to have to go perfectly tonight for Colorado State. And it's a test. I tell you what, if they do this for the first time ever, well, then I think everyone wakes up. Then everyone wakes up and starts looking at Steve Addazio and, you know, what they're doing here early on. At least, you know, for now. Remember, Bobo started off pretty hot. Nobody expected a 7-6 start for him, and he did it in that first year. Never got much better than that, though. And in fact, it never did get better than that. First Advantage text line, 31-996-31996. Now, if you remember, CSU could have played, or not CSU, Steve Addazio had a chance in the First Responders Bowl, was going to play Boise State, but it was the weirdest thing ever. Never really got to play Boise State. So he's excited about this opportunity.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, I always love it when you play the elite teams, you know, and we have a chance to play truly the elite team in our league. And I've got a tremendous amount of respect for their whole program, their coaching staff. I mean, having prepared for them before, I'm well aware of you know, how good they are and the job that they've done there and will continue to do. So this is a great challenge for us. And you just look forward, and as a player, as a coach, you know, to playing the best teams. And this is clearly one of them.
Yeah, no doubt. Dixon says, no surprise that they're so good at home. There were conferences week. Okay, but somebody's got to win those games, and Boise State's the one that does it time and time again. I don't care what you're talking about as far as conferences go. It's still college football. It's still D1 FBS college football. And for Boise State to be, like, don't take anything away from that, man. Like, since 2000, they're 121-11 or whatever. Since 2000, it's an FBS Division I college football team. And Boise State does compete with some of the best and has beaten some of the best schools. So, like, don't just say, oh, well, it's a bad conference. Dude, it's 2020. 20 years of just sheer dominance. They've won 190 out of 230 home games since that blue field. So, you can discount it if you want to, but if I were to tell, if UNC football here suddenly goes on a tear and wins like 30 out of their next 40 games, well, they're in the Big Sky. I mean, give the respect where it's due. It's a Mountain West. It's not, I wouldn't call the West weak necessarily. Yeah, they're not a Power Five, but I still think they're a pretty decent conference. But to be that dominant over 20 years at home, like, that's significant. 20 minutes after the hour. When we come back, more CSU, Boise State. Big one tonight. Colorado State looking to get that run game going, and we'll talk about that. That's something that's really, really going to be big now and probably forever with Steve Addazio is leading this team. But so far, they haven't fared very well, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk to Kelly Lyle of the Coloradoan. And I know it's simple. Broncos want to win. You want to start getting a little bit of an attitude. You want to solve some problems. There's only one guy to go to, and we'll talk about that coming up next. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, I bet Nico Medved's at least happy that Isaiah Stevens was picked to on the preseason all-conference team, so one of the only Ram there. And then the Rams picked to finish fifth in this preseason, in the preseason standings. And okay, yeah, that's okay. I think they were picked like ninth or something last year, so they're moving up, and that's great. I still think they're going to be better than even that. I think they finish in the top three. You know, some great basketball teams. You talk about Mountain West. I mean, some good basketball teams, at least those top three teams. So we'll see if Colorado State can be among them. I think so. I'm going to go right at three. I like UNC winning their conference. I know Eastern Washington's picked to win. The coaches poll has the Bears at five, which is crazy to me. I mean, I get you're losing Jonah Radabaugh, Kai Edwards, those are big names, and then Jeff Linder's gone to Wyoming, but Smiley's been there for 4 years, and, you know, you still got a couple of those stars. So I like the Bears to win their conference, and I like CU to finish in the top two. Listen, they got some great basketball teams, too. Arizona State, Oregon will be great. Arizona, Pac-12 is good at basketball. But I think the Buffs are going to have I think it's going to be a special year. Really, I do. Hopefully, it could be a special year for the Colorado State Rams. Tell you what, you beat Wyoming for the first time in 4 years. You claim that boot. You didn't have a lot of rivalry victories in the last few years. So that's huge. You go and do something you've never done before. You beat Boise State. Adazio would, like, give him the keys to Fort Collins if they find a way to beat Boise State. But I tell you, last week was great. Patrick O'Brien looked sensational. But they're gonna have to run the ball. Marcus McElroy, who's kind of slated as the number one, is averaging 2 yards per carry, just 55 yards in two games. Ajon Vivens with 88 yards. And honestly, one of those was a long 30-yarder. So, you know, not a great run game. Adazio likes his offensive line, but read between the lines. He knows he has to have better play from his running backs.
I just think that, you know, We missed a few things in the run game that, you know, would have made a huge difference for us. But the most important thing I'm looking for is if we're able to get some movement up front and be able to, stay on our combination blocks and do the things that we want to do, then we got a real chance in a run game. And the offensive line played well. I think we could have played better in the backfield and probably in the blocking and some of the edge positions. But this is all part of our development and our growth. Ajon Vivens has done a great job, and he'll continue to play and continue to grow. You know, he was 3 weeks ago, he's a wide receiver, so he's just learning. And Marcus has had a great week of practice. You have those nights, and he did some really good things tonight.
It's very rare you hear a coach say that everybody had a bad week of practice. I mean, sometimes you do, but and I've seen it. I've seen Bobo. I've seen McElwain. Obviously, not going to practice now because of our situation. But yeah, there's been times where Bobo looked hot and you could tell. But most of the time, yeah, great week of practice. Marcus McElroy, I really want to see something from him. You know, only averaging 2 yards per carry. So I'd like to see that run game go. And of course, Adazio loves that offensive line. More than half of them are from Boston College. Those are his guys. Hand-picked. So, they gave Patrick O'Brien a lot of time, which was the difference. But eventually, maybe not this year, but eventually Adazio is going to want to get that run game going. I love that style of football. So that was the one thing, you know, about the Adazio hire that I was like, okay, I do like that. I scratched my head at the hire. I certainly did. But learning about him at Boston College, likes a tough defense, an aggressive defense, and he likes a run game. Those are my favorite things when it comes to football. Philip Lindsay. Mark Kisla wrote an article in the Denver Post. It's not rocket science. Give the ball to Philip Lindsay. Lindsay was going off saying, hey, most teams in the NFL have a run-first mentality. And that if they can get that right, if they can accomplish that, they're going to be good. Obviously, not every team he talked about. But Lindsay is, I mean, again, read between the lines there. Lindsay's saying, give me the football. Let me get at it early. And Vic Fangio was asked about that this morning, actually. I was going through the press conference, and he was asked, hey, is it more of the play design or the commitment? Do you need to commit more to the run? Because we always say it as fans, right? They just need to give him the ball, commit more to it. You can commit all you want, but if you're not schematically blocking the right ways, you're not going to find much room to run. So Fangio admitted, he's like, it's both. He's like, we have to stick with that run game early in the first quarter. We have to stick with it no matter what. And it might be painful at times. We have to stick with it. But yes, schematically, we need to adjust a few things. That interior line, obviously without Graham Glasgow last week, and then your right tackle situation, you're not able to really run that great on the right side. So we know a bulk of those run plays are going to be designed to the left, which is the strength of your offensive line at this point. So defenses are going to key in on that. So I think you got to go Philip Lindsay here. You got to get him. I mean, this is a huge game, folks. This Raiders-Broncos situation, this is huge. For obviously the rivalry, but you have an opportunity, again, like you did against Atlanta, and you squandered it because you just couldn't do anything in the first half of this game. You have an opportunity to put yourself right back in the mix. So it's a big one. I'm looking forward to that. We'll kind of get a soft preview here today and then bust into it more on a Football Friday. Shout out to Fresh Coat Painter South Platte. Get a free mini cooler just by calling the folks at Fresh Coat. And a free painting quote. That's 970-414-4131. 414-4131. Get a free mini cooler from Fresh Coat Painters. All you got to do is call them, and it's yours. 31 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
.35 after the hour. CSU Boise State tonight. I for one like all these Thursday night games, man. They don't call me Mr. Thursday night for a reason, or for no reason, Colfax. I'm now over 500 on my Thursday night picks. I'm just doing NFL this year. I'm that's hard enough. You know, college football is very difficult to predict. Who would have predicted BYU absolutely destroying Boise State last week? I didn't, but that's why I don't make that a part of the TNS, Colfax.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
You got to stick with what you know. And like I said, if you cheat sheet for you, if you follow the whole show, you already know who I'm picking tonight. You know, between the Colts and the Titans. If you follow, you know, the rules of the show, you would already know that. So
it's like a little preview.
Yeah, I'm challenging some of the Hall of Famers to know that. Joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, every week, man, I'm just going to keep asking you. We don't know every quarterback that's going to be playing in this game. Last week, we didn't know for sure with Coach Addazio. Now, with Boise State, we're not quite sure.
Yeah, you know, they're going to keep everybody guessing, but I think it's going to be Hank Bachmeier, guy that was, you know, the Colorado State saw last year and that would be the starter. I think that, you know, they're like everybody else. They're being coy about telling us who's out with injuries, who's out because of COVID tests, who's out because of COVID quarantines. I'm fairly certain, based on reading between the lines, that Hank Bachmeier missed the last two games as a result of a COVID quarantine or potential positive test, and that he's back this week. Again, we won't know till we see, but when I asked Brian Harsin about it on Sunday, and everything I've seen come out of Boise and their team this week, I would think that's who we're going to see at quarterback this week. But they've played four guys already this year. So, yeah. And you know, it's a lot of possibilities still, I guess, when you look out there as who might be taking the snaps for them when the game starts.
Yeah, you're right. And especially if it was COVID related, then yeah, it only makes sense. But I'm with you. I get that sense that it's going to be Bachmeier tonight. And that's a difference maker. I believe when I last checked on the four letter network, Kelly, the Broncos were favored by 14.5. Does that, how does that change if Bachmeier doesn't go? Does that go down significantly?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know, but I actually just checked that too, because it's gone from 13 to 13.5 to 14 to 14.5 over the last few days. In fact, I just updated my what you need to know about the game from earlier in the week with that updated point spread of 14.5 after seeing it myself. You know, it's I think that they're probably a much more efficient team with Bachmeier running that offense. He's the guy that they wanted to do it. He's the guy that did it most of last season. So I think that, you know, that just makes the task for Colorado State that much harder. But, you know, maybe part of that BYU blowout, I think, was Boise State was forced to play almost that entire game with a true freshman at quarterback who wasn't really ready. He came into the year as the number four guy, and all of a sudden he's out there starting, playing almost every snap against the number nine team in the country on national TV. So I think he, and I think given the circumstances, he probably did okay, but that's not how you're going to beat the number nine team in the country.
Yeah, no question about it. Didn't get a chance to see that full shot there. Would have been nice to see if Bachmeier was in that game, if that's a huge difference maker. Kelly, well, I was sure shocked last week with the bronze boot, Colorado State. I mean, it wasn't an absolute blowout, but it did feel kind of like the Rams had control of this game throughout. Even when Wyoming would threaten, the Rams would come up with a big play, whether that was offensively or defensively. They just kept making the big plays. How do you feel about this team at this stage? You know, you look at the Fresno State game, okay, first game, Adazio, quarterback situation, but then they kind of clean a few things up. Bam, they beat Wyoming for the first time in several years. How are you feeling about this team right now?
You know, I think they're kind of now about where I thought they'd be going into the season. That Fresno State game, they were much worse than I thought they would be, to be perfectly honest. They were a lot more disorganized. They just didn't seem prepared to play that first game the way I thought they would be prepared. I think that they got a lot of bugs fixed, worked a lot of things out, and showed against Wyoming that, you know, they could be a decent team. Again, you know, you and I have talked about this before, kind of a, you know, not that they're going to get all eight games in. At best, they're only going to get seven in now, but we had talked about them being a 3-4, maybe 5-win team out of eight. I still think they're in that range when you look at this. You know, now, some of that will depend on how many games they actually get to play. Every game's a little bit suspect these days, as we're seeing all over the country. So it's not just Colorado State, not just the Mountain West that's having issues with getting games played. You know, there's four SEC games canceled this weekend. So it's happening everywhere to everybody. But I think this is a team that, you know, it is decent, but not great. I think, and they're kind of learning some things, getting used to a new coaching staff, new system, getting used to each other. There's a fair amount of transfers playing some significant roles, and then some young guys that haven't had to play a lot that are stepping in. So I think it's one of those years. It's somewhat of a rebuilding kind of year, you'd like to say, but all the weird circumstances of COVID and quarantines and all that, I don't know that you can honestly call it a rebuilding year, but I think it will ultimately have that kind of effect when you look back on it two or three years down the road.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, we know Steve Adazio at some point, you know, he's going to want to really push and emphasize that rushing attack. We haven't really seen it for the most part. I mean, Vivens has I think about 100 yards or a little shy of that. Marcus McElroy is kind of struggling. He's had some nice runs to get first downs, I've noticed, but overall, I think only like 50 yards, averaging like 2 yards of carry. So I was listening to the press conference you guys were involved in the other day, and I was kind of reading between the lines a little bit. Adazio was talking about, well, actually, the O-line, I liked the play of the O-line, just missed a few things there. So to me, I'm reading it as he's expecting a heck of a lot more from his running backs.
Yeah, I think so. There's some stuff he didn't like, certainly from his running backs. He clearly felt better about the O-line's performance than I probably would have felt if I were him, based on what I saw. But yeah, I think Steve Adazio is just in an awkward situation right now, in that he has a style of play that he wants this team to have. But he's got Mike Bobo's players.
Right.
And so the style of play that you're going to be best with right now is to be a lot more open on offense, to be a lot more spread the ball around, use the passing game. And so I think it's creating this kind of strange quandary right now for the Rams as they move forward. And I think, you know, to his credit, he understood that after watching the debacle at Fresno State and realized that they need to put the ball in the air to be successful, and they did that to beat Wyoming. But I guarantee you he's going to continue trying to emphasize that running game. He wants to be a tough, physical, downhill, run-oriented football team. He's adamant that that's how you win. That's what makes your defense good against the run, is that you have a good run game yourself, so they see it in practice. But I think this year there's going to be this kind of weird transition, and it might even carry into next year as well, depending on which players decide to actually return, because everything about this year is crazy, including that nobody's having to use any eligibility.
And that's what's interesting, Kelly, because, you know, you can certainly see, okay, you're a new coach, you're playing, you have a lot of the old guys, you know, from Bobo's regime that was built on trying to be a high-powered offense. So you can see, okay, if you want to win now, you should probably adjust. But then there's this other part of my brain, Kelly, goes to, well, this is kind of a weird year. Doesn't, okay, it counts, but it doesn't count, but it does. I don't know, whatever. Is that where more you think Adazio's thinking is, you know what, I'd rather go through some growing pains, but I want to really, I want to put my stamp on this team now, so that by next year we kind of understand who we are a little bit better.
You know, I think any coach does that. They come in and they have kind of a preconceived idea and a stamp they want to put on the program. Again, they all ultimately, a lot of what they all say is the same thing. I mean, you know, we want to play tough physical football. Well, who says they want to play soft, you know, finesse football?
That's true.
What coach is going to come in and say we want to play soft and play with finesse? Nobody's going to say it, even if that's kind of their MO. So, you know, how much of it is truly what he wants to do, and how much he's doing it? I think that in some ways, a lot of coaches, first-year coaches, and Steve Adazio is probably one, they probably almost see this year as somewhat of a free pass. Because they're just, it's going to be really hard to judge their ability to coach a team based on what they do this year. Now, you can debate whether that's how they should see it or not, because the reality is I see the CSU payroll, and they're still writing him checks for $1.5 million this year. So you would hope that there's some level of responsibility still and accountability involved. But I think it's probably less than there would be in a normal year under a first-year coach. And I think to an extent, Steve Adazio will probably benefit some from that, even if it takes him a little longer to put that stamp he's trying to put on this program.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, Kelly, if you are putting on that defensive coordinator hat for Boise State, you know Dante Wright. I mean, he was Mr. Reliable. When CSU needed a big play, a big third down, they go to Dante Wright. Trey McBride, on the other hand, was absolutely running over everybody throughout the game, blocking, receiving. I mean, Trey McBride's doing it all. If you're that defensive coordinator, who are you putting more of an emphasis on? If you had to say, all right, this was the one guy I don't want out of your sights, who is that guy? And we can't just do 50%. Who's that guy? Is it Trey McBride or Dante Wright?
You know, I think it's got to be Dante Wright, only because, as you pointed out with Trey McBride, you can be where you're supposed to be and on him and covering him and doing everything right, and he's just going to beat you. But that's not scheme. That's just physical talent. Whereas Dante Wright's a guy, you better make sure your scheme understands how fast he is, how dangerous he is, and that you're prepared. You may have to, you know, play some things up a little bit to figure out how to contain his speed and what he can do as an explosive playmaker. Again, you know, that you just can't put two guys all the time on Trey McBride. If you could, you probably would. But if you do that, you're vulnerable in too many other areas. You can't double team tight ends.
Yeah, no question about it. I love that too. Yeah, Trey McBride, there's sooner or later you just kind of have to take your lumps and hope that everybody else doesn't beat you. On the defensive side, I liked this, Kelly. They had some holes, you know, they gave up some open passes last week, but for the most part they're aggressive. They are flying around, and I just get that feeling that this Chuck Heater defense is going to be willing to it's going to be high risk, high reward. We know we're going to give up some deep plays down the field, though.
Yeah, I think so. And Chuck Heater addressed a little bit of that when we talked to him Tuesday. And he said, you know, he feels like the strength of this team is the front seven. There's a lot of experience there. A lot of these guys played a lot of football last year. Then you bring in a couple guys like Rooks and Scott Patch and a couple transfers that have some experience elsewhere that are fit in nicely. And the other thing he said is he doesn't care how good your DBs are. If you're asking them to cover people for more than 3 seconds, that's a really difficult task. So you better have the pressure up front that you're going to force that quarterback to get rid of the ball in less than 3 seconds. Otherwise, he doesn't care how good your DBs are. You're going to get burned.
Yeah, no doubt. Kelly, all right, we've got to wrap up here, my friend. What do you think? Our Power to Play Sports poll question is, who's winning tonight, Boise State or CSU? I know we have Rams listeners, but they're being real here, 60% saying Boise State. What do you think in this one with Hank Bachmeier, and then perhaps give us a prediction without?
You know, I think Boise State's going to win this game. I've seen the Rams too many times lose to Boise State, yeah, like every time they've played them.
Yeah.
Again, I think that Colorado State might be able to hang with them a little better than in some years, especially I think their defense may be able to break some things up, maybe make some plays, force some turnovers. If they do that, then maybe they have a chance. But my gut feeling is that Boise State's going to win this one somewhere in the probably about a 45-24 type victory.
Yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from. Kelly, appreciate it, my friend, and we'll see what's in store. I like these Thursday night games, so it should be fun.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So Kevin and I are here in Boise, ready to cover it. So that's a weird thing in its own right, too.
Hey, you've covered so many of these games on the blue field. Do you like the blue?
Do I like it?
Yeah.
No, I don't. It's annoying to the eyes and all, but I don't knock Boise State at all for doing it, yeah, and why they did it and the notoriety it brought. I wrote a story several years ago that I think we have back up highlighted on our website right now about kind of why they did it. And it has done wonders for their entire university. Enrollment has skyrocketed. Their reputation. They made a name for themselves with that blue field. So, you know, it is, as Gene Blamire, the AD at the time, said, it's fake grass. So does it really have to be green? Yeah. It's not real to begin with.
Hey, and no geese. I don't believe many geese have been injured so far. So that's exciting, too.
So far, that is true. And the Boise River is right nearby, a fairly calm stretch of the Boise River that the geese do like to hang out in. So they are nearby.
Well, watch out for yourself there, Kelly. Appreciate you, man. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Yeah, no geese fell for the old, you know, the oldest trick in the book, Colfax, the old pretend it's a lake, but it's actually a field trick. Those geese and Boise are a little bit smarter than that, Colfax. You got to get up pretty early. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Fort Collins geese would fall for that, but not at Boise State. I don't think so. Those geese, they've been through it. They've taken their lumps. All right, Kelly's liking kind of a blowout in this game. Oof. What do you guys think? Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who's winning? Pretty simple. Boise State or Colorado State? 60% of the hooligans are saying Boise State. Why not? The Rams have never done it before, but it's 2020. Up is down. Left is right. COVID is here. And that's so you never know what's going to happen. 51 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Wrap up hour number one. Derek Carr. He's good. He's not great, but he's good. He's been efficient this year. Can the Broncos disrupt Derek Carr enough to win probably a must-win game? Pretty much most of these games are if they want to hang in the playoffs. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 4 minutes until the top of the hour, flying right through this Thursday. I want to get to this Derek Carr thing. I want to hear from, you know, something from Drew Locke, and we'll get to that in the second hour. But, you know, he keeps talking about the same things and, you know, being able to hit some of these easier reads, being able to get off to a good first start. Well, he's saying the right things, but when does that start, you know, taking hold on the football field? I think there's a lot of pressure on this game. You know, you find a way to win that Chargers game, so perhaps that washes away some of it. but you don't do it against the Falcons. So now we turn our attention back to more pressure. You know, Drew Lock had a bad game against the Chargers until the fourth, but all that goes away because you found a way to win. Well, now we're back on, all right, you got to figure it out. Got to figure it out soon. We'll talk about that. Thursday night special coming up. My keys to the game for Broncos-Rams tonight. Second hour coming up next.